My friend Mike Mills in the studio. Mike, it's always good to see you, pal. And Amy, nice to see you again.
Thank you, Amy Mills. Thank you for having us.
I got to tell you, I was really excited when I first saw the mayor of Murfreesboro announcing that you were moving your sauce production to Murfreesboro, Illinois. I got to tell you, it really excited me.
Well, we're excited about that, too. We've been wanting to do it for several years, and it's finally, it's time.
Well, here's the thing, though, Mike. You know, every time you turn the page on the newspaper, you see, okay, we're taking our business to Indiana. I read Crane's Business Weekly, and the forklift company moves, and this moves. I'm not hearing a lot of people moving things from Indiana to Illinois, and you seem to be fighting the tide here.
I've kind of done that all my life. It's just been the way things have gone. I still believe in the state of Illinois, and, you know, it's been home, it's been good to me, it's been good to my family, and I think the climate will get better as time goes on.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Because you and I have a really long relationship, and here's the thing. When you and I would get together at the table or at the end of the bar and talk for 3 hours, we didn't always talk about barbecue. We talked about precious metals and gold and the Federal Reserve Bank and how to preserve and how to run a business. I mean, that people think about you as a craftsman when it comes to barbecue, and rightfully so. But you were a businessman first.
Well, yes, I am. I'm actually a dental technician by trade.
Right.
I make prosthetic appliances and still have a dental laboratory. I just don't work it every day. But I still have a dental laboratory and have had since 1962.
And, you know, and you had, as I said, it's one of the items we talked about, besides where you had that first metal sheet that you got from... you bought in an auction where you made the best barbecue, best cheeseburger I've ever had. Guy used to be a boxer, had a place in Murfreesboro, and you bought his grill.
Oh.
Gosh, what was his name?
Yes, I don't know.
Isn't that terrible?
Yes, it is terrible.
We're both officially old. Gosh, it's going to bother me. And you were sitting there talking about how you got this at the auction, and this makes, you know, it's been seasoned and it's really good, and proceeded to make me a great barbecue, a great cheeseburger. But we talked about this business of barbecue. And when it comes to it, there's the craft, there's the business end. You don't get to be a craftsman if you can't keep the doors open. And when I heard about, you know, we saw the Republicans make these tax changes and tax reform, I wondered if that was not one of the impetuses that said, now's the time to pull the trigger because I'm going to see my taxes go down. It's going to be, I got a little more financial elbow room.
Well, hopefully, yes, that it works out that way. Right now, I'm going to tell you it's a gamble, but as far as the sauce business goes and doing this, I think it's going to be good not only for our business, but also for business in the general for our whole area, that hopefully people will want to, there'll be other people. There's other people making sauce here right now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they would like to have somebody else be able to make it for them and do it their way.
Oh, now that's interesting because you do have other people with their recipes and maybe they're having it mixed in St. Louis or Indianapolis or Florida or wherever.
Yes.
And you're hoping to make a sauce production facility that not only accommodates you at 17th Street, but other potential.
But for them, we already have several people lined up, you know, that's wanting their sauce made. In other words, it's to them, it's kind of bringing it back home because they are out of state, going to another state, but they're here in Illinois, and they want to bring it back to Illinois.
I think I know a couple of guys we should talk to. Here's the thing. Those are secrets, man. In your first book, you talk about how when you were in the Apple City team, you made the sauce at home. And then you brought it. Nobody else on the team knew what was in your sauce.
Basically.
I mean, and everybody's pretty protective of that secret, double secret recipe. It's one of those, like fishing. If I show you my favorite hole, I'll have to kill you type thing. The same way with barbecue sauce.
That's exactly the way it is with barbecue. Most people won't. And of course, you have to sign a non-disclosure in order to be able to do somebody else's sauce. And, you know, I don't want their recipe to do for myself. I'm very satisfied with the recipes that we have. And they've been good to us over a period of years, and I feel as though we'll continue. We've got two new sauces that we've we've actually had for, I'm going to tell you, 10 years. We just never bottled them.
Right.
But they will be bottled and, you know, become a... somebody's favorite.
Also, in your first book, which of course, Amy, the second book, really, in the first 17th Street Peace Love and Barbecue, you talk about Bill Gibson, right? Georgia, maybe makes the white sauce.
Big Bob Gibson.
Big Bob Gibson. Mm-hmm. You write about this, and people came to his restaurant. They worked for him, and they learned his secret to making white barbecue sauce. And then suddenly, everybody made white barbecue sauce.
Well, there will always be a knockoff, and the sauce that people make, and you know, I have made that sauce before. But I also, at the same time, they tell it, you know, that's where it comes from, Big Bob Gibson's.
Right.
It's been very good to them, and when people go, they want to try that sauce, you know. I've been there. I've tried that sauce. I've dipped the chicken, you know.
Yeah, right. Got to dip the whole chicken in the his sauce.
Exactly. And which is really cool.
It is. It's good.
But each one of us that are in the business have something that they would like to do if they can just find some place to be able to afford to do it.
Sauce and rubs.
Yes.
Amy, here's the thing. When it comes to 17th Street growing, this is another way that you become a bigger thing when it comes to branding. When you can take your product, it has name recognition outside of the immediate market and becomes a national phenomenon. I mean, I remember Jack Turman from California moving here to Carterville, and he said, how come I can't buy rub? You guys invented it, and I can't buy it? That's been a number of years back. That, you know, there's this reputation that grows. Here you got a guy from Southern California, wonder why he moves to Carterville, Illinois, and he can't find the product that everybody in the world knows. You guys started it, Mike Mills, rubbing. This is another step towards growth.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we've had a mail order operation for quite some time, and it's so interesting to me that the three largest states besides Illinois, because we send a lot of product to Chicago, New York, Texas, and California. It's where we ship the most barbecue sauce and rub. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what Mike had told me when you'd gone out to, New Hampshire, been out Martha's Vineyard, you know, peasant food. Where a barbecue started, and suddenly everybody's got their pinky out, and we're wondering, well, which vine goes with the 17th Street, right? We are seeing an acceptance on a much larger level, so you need to be prepared to capture that business while it happens.
Absolutely.
All right, what are we talking about job-wise in Murfreesboro, Amy?
I think, to start with, probably about 15 jobs.
Right.
Some of that will be up front in the little restaurant, and some of it will be in the factory. And, of course, how many jobs we add will depend on how much we sell of our own sauce and how much co-packing business we acquire.
All right, because there's what people seem to think about. We can sit here and talk about sauce and we think about the product in the bottle, but I've worked with enough people. You've got a, you know, Country Bob Edson, came to Mike Mills' restaurant, had lunch with you one time because we were both fans of Country Bob.
Right.
And he was in the sauce thing and he's talking about how his production, you know, he's putting some in cans and some in bottles and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And you fail to recognize, just like the wine industry, well, you got a lot of grapes. Where are you going to get the bottle? Where are you going to get the label? Where are you going to get the cork stopper? How's it going to get in a box? How's it going to get delivered? Is it going to be delivered by truck? Or where are we going to get the shelf space? Who's going to deliver it? How are we going to make sure we acquire shelf space at eye level? I mean, I can keep going on.
Yeah, it's a huge process, and there are many partners you need to acquire along the way. In addition to the people we'll have to hire, you know, we'll need a food scientist or somebody, you know, with some of that food science background on our staff. So we're going to be looking for some specialized people.
Any idea how many gallons that you've sold of this or has sold monthly? Is there a number here, a way to qualify this when it comes to production?
I have no idea, but we should look into that because I'm sure that's a question we're going to be asked. But
I've really never calculated that before, but I can tell you it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, my first thought was, you know, that right now with you, there is a production problem. There's a tomato shortage going on because of Hurricane Irma. And it is apparently very severe and may continue through the end of the month. Some Florida restaurants have already stopped selling tomatoes. Although in your case, I guess there might be a tomato product that can sit on the shelf as opposed to fresh. I'm not sure how that works.
We do use tomatoes in our process, in our barbecue sauce. In fact, most barbecue sauces, not all, by any means, but most of them have a tomato in some form or another. in the barbecue sauce.
A base, as a rule.
We don't use a lot of tomato, but we have to have it.
Right.
Absolutely.
You got to have it all. How old is your sauce? Did your dad make that the first time, or did you adapt your dad's sauce?
A little of both.
Yeah.
My dad had the barbecue sauce, which he got back years ago down in southeast Missouri. It would have been back in the 30s.
Right.
At that point in time.
All right. So, Amy, when do you believe sauce production will begin in Murfreesboro?
I'm banking on the fall. Another thing that's really interesting that we're doing and that will be valuable to the people who co-pack with us is that we are utilizing all natural ingredients, and that's becoming very important going forward. You will have to be showing on your label starting this year if you have products that have GMOs in them. So we are going through great pains to source appropriate ingredients that will be very helpful to everybody.
And that is, and quite frankly, a bigger thing to every mom and dad who goes into a store about what we're putting in our bodies. You know, it's one of the new companies said, when did we start serving things that weren't food for food?
Exactly.
And
that's
a big push towards people being very self-conscious about what's in there, whether it's pesticides and how the stuff was raised from beginning to end. It's really a big deal.
It is.
It's really turned into a big deal. If you and I might get
together a bowl that's, you know, the size of a basketball and make sauce, that's one thing. But when you ramp that up to scale of order, you start running into, like, wow, we got to have how much pepper, right? This order of scale is really an interesting thing for you, because there's a lot of people involved in doing what to make you have an end product.
Well, not only that, the quality of the product, it's like anything that's out there and been out there, the quality of the product you use, because you have to use the same product every time.
There is an expectation.
Yes, otherwise it will not turn out the same. And then you have to try and to be able to figure out a formula that when you go from one type of ketchup, we'll say, to a different type of ketchup, it won't work.
Right.
You know, it's all got to work out.
One of the reasons why I like McDonald's is because I know what I'm going to get and the expectations met. It may not be, you know, that I'm not expecting, you know, sirloin tip. But my expectations are met. Same thing with your product. It doesn't matter what it is. People have an expectation, and they bought the first one. They went great, and they go, the second one's not great. You can't do that. Sauce is a return business, a return customer business.
Absolutely.
So sauce, what about your rubs?
Well, the rubs are the same way.
You're going to make them in Murphy?
We'll be making our rubs in Murphy, yes.
Good. I'm looking forward to fall. The one part that I got to go, because we've only got like a couple of seconds here left. You're going to be serving food at this location, too. You alluded to this a while ago, Amy.
We are. The front part of the rest of the building will be a cafe where we have breakfast, lunch, coffee all day.
Good.
Very simple, small menu.
All right. So, but 17th Street stays open.
Non-barbecue.
We used to go every, when we were doing the we were doing the barbecue championship, we'd all get together early in the morning. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. Barbecue, it's not just for breakfast anymore. So, of course, many of us had been up overnight, but
exactly.
So it was a late dinner. This is an exciting prospect. I'm hoping people see your example, you succeed, and other people choose to follow along. People get a sense of safety when they see another person do it and succeed. There's another quality to this that I find exciting.
To answer that question, is it is exciting, and even as many years as I've been doing this, I still find it exciting to be able to produce a product that originally did not start out to be what it is today.
Right.
It's pretty cool when you can figure this out, and of course it takes people to help you along this line. That's why you're all the time studying and finding out and chasing down the products to make the sauce. And that's why I know the problem out there with other people making a sauce like they want to. And it's just too expensive unless you got a guy that cares about it.
All right.
I care about it.